You are listening to the Abundant Parent Podcast, helping you heal your dialogue with yourself, empower your kids, and create abundance in your life. In this episode, I welcome an expert guest from one of my earliest monthly workshops. Hey, Abundant Parents, it's Leah. Christina was my guest, and she selflessly spent 2 hours delivering tool after tool to help you bring mindfulness and peace, not only to yourself as a parent, but also to your kids. That was released as the workshop, which is coming up in just a moment, as well as some mini videos that we did together on the YouTube channel. So please be sure to check those out as well.
We are in separate states, so we are making the best of the workshop by coordinating times, which is super early because it is about 7:45 Colorado time. And what time is it for you?
6:45 a.m.
That is dedication.
Yes.
Dedication. Well, thank you for being here. I know it's really hard to fit. You're also working a daytime job and you're a mom. And so I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us on what little time that you have.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You have a business called Joy Fuel Life. And what you're here to talk to us today about is creating really positive self-talk and using meditation tools to help foster that. Tell us how you came to get into doing Joy Fuel Life and a little bit about your story that led you to being here on the workshop.
I'm born and raised in Germany. I grew up in a really conservative, sheltered way, really judgmental environment. And, you know, in Germany, there's one way or the highway. We have a lot of laws, and if you decide to go to school for one thing, you have to go for it. And that it's not as easy to change careers. I was always judged by my actions, and it would be my parents, and no, I'm not blaming them. You know, they did their best, whatever they knew was best. You know, school and friends. It really got to me. I can remember a point in school when my teacher, you know, Christina, you're just an introvert. And that stuck with me. I'm an introvert. Okay, so I have to behave like one. And I really got this little shy girl that never spoke up and always blamed herself for whatever she did. I was also really competitive in sport, and don't laugh at me, I play table tennis, but awesome.
Isn't there a movie about like a professional table tennis player or something? Or was that Forrest Gump?
Yeah, you were the second person telling me that, but
I actually think it's Forrest Gump. I think he actually goes to the Olympics.
It's definitely in Forrest Gump. Yeah.
No, I actually think that's pretty awesome.
I know. I get a lot of laughs usually, you know, it's ping pong. And I'm like, no, it's table tennis. It's really distinction. Like competitively single and also in a team. And whenever I lost, I felt like our team lost, I felt like it was my fault. And there was nobody there that told me, you know, it's all okay. Really becoming judgmental of everybody else too, really negative about everything. I was the most pessimistic person you could meet out there.
If you're self-judging yourself in a harsh way, you also have a tendency to judge others kind of in a harsh way. And all of that negative talk leads to negative thought. And it's just kind of the secular, repetitive, like it's hard to get out of it.
It's a spiral. It's just insane. What kind of saved me were two things. I met my husband in Germany. He's American. When he moved back to the States, I followed him 4 years later when I was done with college. And that was a big transition. That opens up your mind right there. Like going from a small town to the big states. Insane. I had English as a major in high school, and my English teacher told me, don't ever go anywhere where you have to speak English, you know, on a daily basis. And I'm like, well, that's a problem because I kind of need to. Seeing myself that I can do it, even though somebody else told me not to, really helped bump my self-esteem. And it's also an American-based company that I got engaged with. They are promoting a whole lifestyle concept, like a holistic living. They put a lot of emphasis on personal development. Read books, went to seminars, got in touch with self-talk, with affirmations, with meditation and yoga, and really dove into it. And the more I read, of course, the more, you know, I saw and experienced and learned. Going to our kids and setting them up, giving them the tools to set them up for life so that they always have a resource is so much more worth than having an adult that needs to work through all of these issues.
I think there's a quote that's pretty popular right now that is something along the lines of, it's easier to lift a child up than it is to repair a broken adult, in so many words.
Yes.
And And also, you don't have to go through news feeds for very long before you realize that we're all kind of psychologically, empathetically, emotionally a mess. And if we can rewind the clock a little bit, at least with our kids, and mm-hmm. help them to be the ones that are really going to fix all the stuff we've created, I mean, how amazing would that be? By elevating them to the level that we should all be at, but we're all such a disaster that we can't even get the pickaxe in there. So,
and you know, it's not about being perfect or, you know, having that perfect life, but knowing how to go about it if there's really a situation that you don't know how to deal with.
I know we kind of went back and forth about which comes first, the chicken or the egg, with self-talk and meditation. But we decided to start with meditation. So share with us a little bit about what it is and why it's important for us.
Meditation, when I first encountered it, I also thought of, you know, someone sitting there with their hands, fingers touching and just chanting some om or some, you know, sounds making noises. Or I don't want to do that. I felt awkward doing that. You can think of it like a training in self-awareness. And to getting a healthy sense of a perspective. When you talk about meditation with others, they are always, or you get the sense that you should, you know, just shut off the world and have to focus on one thing, but that's not what it is. It's, you don't have to turn off your feelings or emotions or your thoughts. You just guide them, you know, and you learn how to better adjust to them and deal with them. What's really important, you also learn to observe them and without judging them.
That's the key.
Eventually, yes, very important. Eventually, you may also start to better understand what you're going through and why you're having certain thoughts. When you first encounter meditation, you should think of it like learning a skill. You have to practice it for a certain amount of time before, you know, you get good at it or be more comfortable with it. It's exercising a muscle that you have never worked out before. So it definitely takes time.
Absolutely. And I feel like with media and electronics and everything and marketing and stimuli being what it's become in our day and age, we are so constantly bombarded with distractions for our mind. And so it's actually very uncomfortable to sit quietly with yourself when you're used to always being able to just grab your phone, or you're driving in your car and there's the radio and the advertisements and the billboards and everybody's bumper stickers on the back of their cars. And there's just constant stimuli of labels, judgments, things that cause you to self-reflect, but not in a healthy way, where you are comparing yourself to others and wishing that you had the same thing as others. So making sure that you are starting small and not judging it is so key.
And, you know, it takes time, like you said, to really get comfortable with your thoughts, with your mind, you know, just sitting there and letting it all just come in. It's just part of the journey. Work through it. Just constantly show up. And just by showing up, you're amazing.
I know I said that the most important part was not judging, but honestly, the most important part is just doing it, just stepping out of your comfort zone and being like, I'm just going to, like you said, show up for myself today.
You don't have to do it like hour-long meditations, you know. Start small, you know, a minute, 5 minutes, whatever. It really is that simple.
We're going to put out some links for different meditations. And one of those links is a meditation that I did that's only 1 minute long, and it's just breathing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a meditation that I do in the car. You're going to demonstrate something like that as well. But that meditation doesn't need to be that you've designated an hour that you're going to practice meditation. It's amazing what a difference even just a moment can make in recentering yourself.
And I can speak from my experience too, because I was told that as a child, I don't know if they labeled it back then ADHD, but I really wasn't able to concentrate and always fidgeting and doing stuff. And I'm still like that as an adult. And now I have, you know, a resource to go to. And if I can sit still for 5 minutes, you know, it's doable. I promise.
That's amazing, because the more that I learn about all this mindfulness and meditation, the more I hear about people who've gotten into it because they do have a little bit of an element of, they've either been formally diagnosed with ADHD or they've just really struggled with focusing and sitting still. There's somebody that I follow on YouTube named Aaron Dowdy, and he talks pretty frequently about how he was diagnosed with ADHD as an adult and how it wasn't until he really embraced breathing and meditation and then also grounding. He said, even now, with all of this work that he's done on himself, all this meditation that he does, all of this stuff, he still has to get outside every single night and take his shoes off and just let his toes get in touch with the grass and the dirt. And on the nights that he's traveling or he's forgotten to do it, that he actually feels like his legs are jumping out of his body, that he needs that time to connect with the earth. And so all of these mindfulness things are so fantastic that if you can recognize this as an adult, imagine what it's going to do for kids when they have even more of that energy.
Just really show up, you know, get into the groove, and you will see that it makes a difference. It definitely can. People say or wonder, you know, what's meditation for? It's, you know, it's a spiritual thing, but it really is for everybody. And there are so many different types of meditation. But just to give you an example, like what you could meditate for or when you can use it, if your work is tough, you can use meditation to really center yourself and become more relaxed about that issue or whatever is going on. You can use it for kids, like you said, to get a better focus, for anxiety. If you're having trouble sleeping, it's a wondrous tool that you can use for so many things. We talk so much about, for kids and adults alike, about how to keep our bodies healthy, but we never talk about how to keep our minds healthy. With meditation, as we said before, you know, we could set up our kids for life by giving them the tools. That a lot of you parents out there are like, how am I going to get my kid to sit still, you know, even for a couple minutes? For us to sit still, we have so much going on all the time. For a kid, it's 10 times or 100 times harder to just sit still and close their eyes. Don't worry, there are so many opportunities where you can really integrate meditation into your daily routine, you know, without battling your kids.
I talk a lot about the law of attraction on my regular Instagram, YouTube, everything. And finding gratitude is a huge piece of attracting more positive energy into your life. So I talk about finding gratitude on the fly, because just like you're saying, when you have kids, sometimes taking that extra time and creating yet something else on your to-do list, like, oh, we've got to do our meditation practice today. It's hard. But if you are incorporating meditative practices into all the little elements of things you're already doing in your life, totally doable.
Definitely. And I do have some examples how to do that too. I'll definitely get to that.
Okay.
So when you ask yourself what meditation should be about, it pretty much is there to take your mind, your body, and your spirit, and just to really focus it on one single moment or one single activity. And our kids actually do that. Pretty awesome to watch. And I'm sure you encountered it too. When your kid is playing or focusing on a puzzle or on a book or whatever, they're really into that in that moment and focus on that. And I know, at least it's true for myself, that when I asked Katie or called her or wanted to ask her a question and talk to her, she's like not answering me. And that's that focus that we're talking about, to really be in that moment.
My youngest daughter does that as well when she's into her small play, and she's set up this whole entire world. It's usually mermaids, but like there's like this whole underworld with like seashells, and then like there's like a ball for like the seahorses. But it's the same, where she can fall into that small play for literally hours. And if I call her in that time and she doesn't answer, I've learned that it's not because she's in the early stages of being a teenager and ignoring me. It's because she's so in there that she can't. There's nothing else outside of this world that she's created where she is.
Exactly.
Should we talk now about how to meditate? Is that a good time for that?
Sure. There are basically two key points to meditation. One of the most important ones is your breathing. And I know you're going to like all think like breathing, we're all breathing. You know, what are you talking about? I found that especially in our day and age, we just tend to have a shallow breath, like short breath. And we don't focus on it because it is natural.
I think now would be an awesome time. Like if everybody watching the workshop, if you just stop and think, you can feel how shallow you've been breathing as you've been watching this. But if you just stop and like, even if it's just that one, like immediately you feel that difference between everything expanding in your rib cage and just how you've kind of been like on your phones, on your computer. Yeah. You know? I have little notes all over my home that just remind me like where the thermostat is and where my light switches are. It's just a little note that says breathe, because you're so in this habit of breathing to survive, but not breathing to heal and fuel.
Yes. You can also test it when you don't know what we're talking about. Just put a hand on your stomach and take a deep breath in. And if your stomach inflates, then you're doing it right.
All right.
There you go.
All right, awesome.
Just an easy way to check it, you know,
okay.
And also ground yourself too.
Okay.
The second part is you just have to see what position you want to meditate in. You always think of just sitting meditation, but you can do a standing meditation, laying down, walking around.
Meditation.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. I always lay down when I meditate.
I never do that.
Fall asleep sometimes when I meditate.
Yes. That's exactly why I don't do it.
Why I don't stand up and meditate.
Yeah. It's really all about what's comfortable to you. So you don't have to force yourself in one type of position or doing it one way or the other. Just an example for a walking meditation, because I know you're like, what? I need my eyes open when I'm walking, you know? It's really simple. Just decide that, you know, you can take two or three steps, whatever. But for the first two steps, you just inhale. And for the next two steps, you exhale.
Oh,
you
that's awesome.
Continue to that breathing pattern, however long you want, moving around. It's really all about mindfulness and just being in that moment and taking it all in, being present.
And I know over the summer, I went to an outdoor nature space and facility, and they actually had a labyrinth with all the stones. Isn't this also kind of part of what the point of a labyrinth is? Is that it's that walking meditation and it's you're focused on following the path, and so it's keeping your thoughts really present. And but adding the breathing would be super awesome.
You see that you can integrate it, you know, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, really.
You know, when you're in prenatal yoga classes and everything, they talk about how you should do your Kegels while you're waiting in the grocery store.
Yes, exactly.
So you can, instead of doing Kegels or both, you could do your Kegels and you can do your breathing exercises simultaneously.
Really, really
like distract from the mindfulness that you're supposed to have. Let's see, we've talked about how to meditate. Did we talk about the benefits?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay, let's talk about the benefits then.
I love those. I'm so excited. I can't even tell you.
Okay, so first benefit is Kegels. No, wait.
We should all do them anyways, right?
You too, dads. You too.
Yes. For us adults, it's all about mental clarity. Like you said, you know, we're bombarded with so many things. As a person, you have 60,000 thoughts or more in a given day. And we're definitely not aware of all of them. That's just crazy. With meditation, you can get rid of the noise and all the bugs that are in your head. And it really slows down your brain waves and it calms your mind. And it also helps you to take a look at the challenges that you face from a third person perspective. And meditation is there to calm and relax you. It cleanses your body in a way, and it also provides increased oxygen flow to your body. And that's what I think is also really important for kids. Specifically for children, when we talk about meditation and the benefits, it's the enhanced focus. Again, they're bombarded with all the media, with the toys, with friends and school and, you know, all the things that they have to live up to. You know, with meditation, you can teach them that it's possible to just focus on one thing. Another thing, and that's really important to me to give forward to my daughter, is to help her be compassionate and have a good self-esteem. There are so many pressures out there. I've heard it and I've gone through it myself, unfortunately, you know, being bullied, being teased by others. Most of the insecurities that we have as adults can actually be traced back to the childhoods, like what I talked about in my story. That's why I do what I do, actually.
Well, and not to say that men don't have self-esteem and image issues of their own. Lewis Howes came out with a book called The Mask of Masculinity, and he does an incredible job of going through all of these different personas that men give themselves to protect them from their insecurities. And so that's just one piece of what men have to go through, making sure that they are breadwinners and that they are being very masculine and that they are strong and that they don't show emotion. But then there's this whole other piece for girls and for women where we are raised to not be heard, where we are raised that we should be really feminine and that we should look like these airbrushed covers of magazines, and that not only should we push a baby out and have a six pack 6 months later, but that we should maintain large breasts, even though we have no body fat on the rest of our body. And like you're saying, that loving who you are so much on the inside and nurturing that and giving yourself that breath and that focus to kind of foster that self-love is so important in our culture.
And you know, with meditation, you can help your children to give that security, the stability, and also that empathy, you know, that's important too to have. With those, it also builds up to to having compassion and joy and that self-esteem that's really important. You know, not the overly cocky or, you know, I'm the best.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing who you are and that you can do a lot of things and don't have to worry so much.
I think it's easier to show others love and kindness, and it's easier to put good energy out into the world if you love yourself to begin with. That way you've already had your oxygen mask on. You're already giving yourself what you need. It makes you all the more capable of not only putting love out to the world, but modeling that positive behaviors to your children and being able to love them in a really healthy way without your own agenda and ego involved.
Two more benefits that I want to just mention are really the boosting confidence for them, because children can learn from their meditation practice that they don't have to react to all of their thoughts and emotions. They can actually choose which ones to respond to and, you know, which ones to give attention to. And that can then prepare them to be better equipped to deal with unfamiliar situations. You know that you cannot always prepare them for everything. It also helps them to become just better problem solvers. Also to get a deeper appreciation of life, like in general. And the other benefit is to build up their empathy and happiness. Because they, like you said, they learn how to share their love with others. As funny as that may sound, they do become more patient and understanding, and they listen in a better way and also empathize with others. And I've seen that in my daughter too. Like, it's not that she meditates, you know, she's 3, but she is doing morning yoga every day and she's totally in that. But I can see that in her attitude too. Like, I don't have to deal with the usual temper tantrums. Like, everybody was warning me about the terrible 2s and terrible 3s. And if you don't have the terrible 3s, then it's something else terrible, you know. But it's all about giving them the tools and letting them have those emotions. With doing all of this, with the meditation and being mindful and the self-talk, is that I react in a different way.
Now a good time to kind of lead into self-talk?
Yes. To talk about self-talk, I want to talk about mindfulness. What mindfulness is really about knowing or noticing your thoughts, knowing what your body feels like, what you hear, you know, take everything in pretty much with what meditation is, but being mindful of your surroundings and what's happening in the right now, around you, inside you. You know, everything, the whole package. Mindfulness, I believe, is also helping us parents to be more present in our parenting and, you know, to choose to respond differently, not just, you know, blow up and add to their stress level. It can also help kids. There's actually an emerging body of research that indicates that mindfulness for children can help them to improve their abilities to pay attention, calm down when they're upset, like actually do it themselves without, you know, needing any help from us, and helps them to make better decisions in general. Totally mind-blowing to me. So it really helps them with their emotional regulation and also their cognitive focus. You want that as a parent.
That, absolutely. I've really, especially with my oldest daughter, once she reached that age of reason, and now that my youngest daughter is reaching that age of reason, when they ask me, what should I do? I often ask them, well, what feels like the right thing to do? Instead of like, what do you think you should do? I try to really focus on like, what feels right? When you're telling people and kids to think about that intuition and the feelings that you get, it's like, that's the piece that we've lost touch with. And mindfulness really brings that right back into those gut feelings and that intuition that we've really lost touch with.
Yes, for sure. You know, when you think about your child right now and you're like, I don't even think, how do I get him to be mindful, you know? Just ease into it. It's definitely important. But to really teach mindfulness and to show your kids what it is about, you have to establish your own practice.
You absolutely have to be a model to them. Yes. Something else that works for me is really talking about empathy without using the word empathy. If my children do stuff that is not the kindest, not that they would ever do that because they're so abundant, but sometimes they're not kind. Mm-hmm. And I just try to remind them, especially when they're in that place of the ego, like small children are, you have to remind them, okay, well, if this was happening to you, how would you feel about this happening? And I feel like that's a really great place to start when kids are young, is saying, well, how would you feel if that happened?
Using the word empathy when you talk to your children about it, it's pretty it's kind of similar, especially when you try to explain to younger kids like what mindfulness is, because it's such
so a abstract
word. Yes. You can use, you know, instead of mindfulness, just say awareness, like what we've been talking about all along, being aware of what's going on inside of you and what's happening around you.
Absolutely.
That's really what it's about.
So going back to what's going on inside, let's talk about self-talk.
Yeah, self-talk. I know we all know it. It's pretty much your inner voice. And it's that, you know, that running monologue that either supports you during the day. I didn't have that before, for sure. I'd rather get the negative and the self-defeating one, like, oh, you can't do anything right, and you're a complete failure, you know, why are you even trying to do that? Self-talk, and you have to be aware that it combines our conscious thoughts, but also the unconscious beliefs and biases, like myself being an introvert, I'm an introvert, so that's what I am, and I acted on it unconsciously. And for our brain, it's just an effective way to interpret and also to process our daily experiences, like what we go through. We as humans, we tend to be more negative rather than positive, you know, and talk ourselves down and talk bad about us, even though it's really unrealistic, and it actually can also be harmful to talk to yourself that way. The good thing is that we can actually learn to challenge that negative self-talk. One of the first steps is to realize and becoming aware of it, because it's such a huge part of who we are, and it impacts how we feel about ourselves, what we can think we can achieve in life, what we think or how we're viewed by others, and it also impacts the relationship we have with others. It's really important to pay attention to what you're telling yourself.
You might actually touch on this later, but I actually did a law of attraction video about mirroring neurons and how even though you may look in the mirror and you may not actually say it out loud, but you may have this internal dialogue that's saying, oh, I have wrinkles, I don't like my pimples, I'm fat. You may have this inner dialogue of all of these bad things that you feel about yourself. And your child is mirroring your neurons. Like they're picking up on that energy, whether you're saying it out loud or not. And that's, if for no other reason to change your negative self-talk, do it for your kids. If you can't do it for yourself.
I totally understand that it's hard to, when I say, yeah, you just have to notice your thoughts. And it's like, I don't know. Like, how do I do that? How do I go about that? It's pretty simple. It's a given. It should be a given in our world. Just really try to pay attention to what you're thinking and you're telling yourself. And start with specific situations, like if you have to do a presentation or if you're broke a glass, you know, that simple scenario. Like, what are you telling yourself? Like, oh, what the heck? Another one and I suck and why do I do this and I'm so clumsy? And when you say that to yourself, turn it around and think, wait a minute, why am I telling myself that? I'm not clumsy. That was one glass. Start slow with situation. You don't have to notice like all 60,000 thoughts that you're having. That would be crazy. You'll be busy. Yeah. You don't have enough time in a day to do that.
And it just comes with practice, right? Like you start with being aware. I'm definitely not the person I was 4 years ago. I was very self-loathing. I had very low self-esteem. I did not believe that I was capable of offering a whole lot of positive influence into the world. And where I first started recognizing the mindfulness and the negative self-chatter was the mirror in the bathroom in the morning. It started first thing in the morning, first thing when I looked at myself, and I started talking about all the things that I didn't like about myself. And so that could be a great first place instead of trying to think all day long, all the negative stuff that you're saying, which I was doing that as well all day long. It's just finding the place that you find it the most jarring, the most obvious, and making the shift and starting there. And then don't you feel like it just kind of snowballs from there? Like once you start to recognize the negative self-talk in one place, it just kind of, you start to notice other places that you're doing it. And pretty soon it becomes easier and easier to make that shift with practice.
Yes, it definitely snowballs. And that is a good example with the mirror. And you can even ask your children, like before they go to school and they look in the mirror, ask them, what are they thinking? Like, what are they thinking about themselves? You know, I've talked to quite a few people, even in their 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, they don't even dare to look themselves in the mirror and think good things. And I'm like, that is just crazy. I know for me, it was really hard to look in the mirror and say, oh, I look good. You know,
it's so uncomfortable at first.
It is.
And I have to be honest, I still don't look in the mirror and say like, yeah, I look good, you know, but I've reached a place where I'm able to look in the mirror and say, I love you, which for me is huge because I did not love myself. And And I feel like the liking myself physically is a slower practice, and I'm getting there, but I love myself for the first time in my life. And for the first time in my life, I can look in the mirror and say it. That I love myself and I appreciate myself. So, you were talking about non-judgment. So also not judging your progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very important, because everybody has a different progress too. It's not all the way is not the same for everybody. Yeah. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge others. That's really what it's about. A few other examples for your kids. Like, you had that in the morning with looking in the mirror, especially. I know that I could have used that as a kid growing up, because I always compared myself, and what you said before, I wanted to have that ideal body, you know, look a certain way, and I surely didn't. So definitely do that. But also, like, I know it's hard for parents to talk to their kids about it, especially, you know, teenagers, like, how do you go about it? The simple things that you can change or do is, instead of, you know, asking them how was school or how was your day, because I know that they might not always answer truthfully, you can give them scenarios or ask them, you know, what did you feel like, or what did you think to yourself when you got the math test back or got a test back, or how do you feel about if they have a presentation going on? How do you feel about before you go up?
Really specific questions too.
Yes, really specific. And make them think about their state and you can also then judge what they're thinking to themselves and help them to make it more positive. And like I said, you can do that too. If you have a presentation at work and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, they're going to hate me and this is going to be good enough, you can move that towards more like, I got this, you know, I practice it, I'm good. And if not, I'll change it.
My youngest daughter just finally learned how to swim this summer. She has this huge fear of the water, and she would always like grip onto me like her life.
Yeah.
When we were in the pool together for many years, working with this kid for years to get her comfortable in the water. And finally, a couple weeks ago, she allowed not only to not be physically attached to me in the pool, but we started practicing doggy paddles. Like, I would start like a foot away and she would push off the pool and reach. As soon as she realized she could push off the pool and keep herself afloat, then she was willing to let me step further and further back. And then we got to the point where she would build the momentum of pushing off the pool and be able to paddle. And then she was swimming. It was like a Christmas miracle. and so as she was, once I got out of the pool, she was swimming pretty independently. So I wanted to shoot a couple videos of her. And she totally just did her little doggy paddle. Like, she was breathing so hard. I mean, this is not Olympic level material here, but she was working so hard. You could tell that even though she was exhausted, she was exhilarated by finally being able to swim. And instead of saying like, wow, I'm so proud of you, I said, are you proud of yourself? And she was like, yes. And then I was able to say, good, you should be. And just really affirm that she had this own positive self-dialogue about her being able to pick up the swimming. And so little conversations like that, when your kids have accomplished something big at school or in a performance or a test, or being able to be like, are you proud of yourself, is a good, great start.
Yes, that is a perfect example. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm just reading my notes because that's how I am.
<You're fine. laughs>
So as part of your workshop, you are involved in the group. And so please, everybody, ask your questions for Christina about meditation, maybe little ways that you're trying to put it into your life. If you're having struggles getting your kids to, you mentioned your three-year-old does yoga, and that's a great place to kind of start self-reflective practices. So if you guys have questions related to engaging children with these kind of self-reflection, self-talk, meditative practices, lean on Christina this month. She will be in the group, hopefully indefinitely, because she's a mom. Definitely this month, as we kind of create more talk about meditation and self-talk. So ask your questions. That's what she's here for. She's also doing a free 30-minute session for everybody to develop a customized programming for creating positive self-talk and using meditation. Can you talk a little bit about more what a 30-minute session might look like with you?
So it's really personalized to what you need and where you're at in your journey. And that's definitely something we're going to find out. And then just where you really want to focus on. Do you need help with, you know, integrating meditation? Do you you need help with how to get started. Also, the same thing with self-talk, like we're actually going to talk through it, and I help you really give you tools on how to recognize it and how to start making it a practice, really.
To do that, we will put a post in the group. And if you are interested in having the free 30 minute session, then just kind of comment underneath the post, like, me too, yes, I want it, give it to me now. And then Christina will reach out to you and private message you and collect the information that she needs to get you started. All right, we're also going to be putting a few resources in the group. So I'll be sharing a meditation for different age group. So I'll be putting in one meditation for really young kids. I'll be adding another link for a meditation for kids that are a little bit older. I'll be doing one for older children and adults. And then I'll be also adding that really short 1 minute meditation for breathing. And then we're also going to do a couple more videos that we'll throw into the group with Christina and I, talking about different ways to bring mindfulness, meditation, and that positive self-talk into yourself and your family. So definitely be really active on the group. Christina, thank you so much for your time this morning and for all of your great insight on really connecting with your kids on a mindful level and getting everybody positive and meditative.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, like you said, if you guys have any questions, if you need help in any way whatsoever, just reach out. I'm happy to do this and help you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'm not going to end record yet. You can also catch Christina on joyfuellife.com. She is on Facebook, the Facebookery. You're also on Instagram. So if you're struggling finding her on any of those, just reach out, post in the group saying that you want to find her, that you're struggling. We'll make sure to throw her links around within the group also. But thank you so much. If you guys love this workshop, please share it with your friends. I host a new expert every single month talking about holistic care, Reiki, tapping, all of these elements that make you the most positive, fulfilled parent that you can be so that you can pass that great energy and great messages onto your kids. Thank you guys all so much. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can be the parent your kids connect with best, and that begins by giving yourself grace, love, and patience. Don't forget to go sign up for the Abundant Parent Membership. New guests each month, online workshops with me, and group coaching whenever you need it most. Go to theabundantparent.com. You're going to want to click on the tab that says membership. I'm wishing you a day full of light, love, and abundance.